We have come on a very unique day. This whole year has been kind of that way, hasn't it? But this was a specially unique day for two reasons. It's a day in which you, as the Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church, mark your history again. It's a day of remembrance. It's a day of reminder. It's a day of retouching many of those bases. As you have the opportunity to see older pictures, and I was walking around in the dining room back there earlier today looking at the pictures that have been put up as a reminder of the building of this structure and of the people who were there before. And we touch base with that history. We reconnect with that has been here for a long time. And yet today, for me, this is the first day. A day of beginning. A day of looking forward. A day of seeking God's guidance and direction. But as it's the first day, the history of what you've had and the anticipation of what you're going to have all rest upon the fact that God's God. And I want to share with you today a passage of Scripture from Psalm 93. There are five verses in this psalm, and it carries a very solid statement. I want to ask you to read with me, please, Psalm 93, and let's look at the five verses. I'm going to focus most of my time on the statement that's made in the first two verses. But we'll look at the effects of that on the other verses as well. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The statement of grand assurance is given in the first phrase of that song. I hope today will ring in your ears, not just because I'm going to talk loud, but I hope it reverberates in your ears. And you carry home with you that statement that says, the Lord reigneth. Lord, look upon us through your word today. Apply it to our hearts. Carry us in its strength. But reaffirm it in our minds. Give us, Lord, as you have given us the gift of faith to believe in you and to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us that same strength of faith to believe and to trust in the proclamation of your word in its direction in our lives. Grant us an understanding. Grant us hope. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. Now I'm going to ask you another question. I'm good at questions. I hadn't always got the answers, but I'm good at questions. I want to give you a question that may seem very disconnected, but there's a very strong reason for the question. What's your favorite kind of song in our worship of the Lord? There's several different kinds, aren't there? There's fast songs, some that make you tap your toe and bob your head. There's slow songs that move our hearts and our spirit. There's some that we sing without music. There's some that we sing with accompaniment. There's a lot of different kinds of singing. Now, all of us have particular songs that we like. But I want you to notice something from as we enter this study today from two passages of Scripture in the New Testament. There are three different types of songs that are mentioned. Look with me in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5. And notice with me quickly from verse 18. I'm going to begin reading in this passage because it's part of the whole sentence. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you'll flip over just a few pages into Paul's letter to the Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 3, at beginning at verse 15, he gives this admonition. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now you'll notice in both of those passages, one written to the church at Ephesus and one written to the church at Colossae, a congregation of people that grew out of Paul's ministry at Ephesus. But he exhorts both of those congregations that they are to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about hymns, I think about hymns like Amazing Grace and Blessed Be the Tie That Binds and a lot of others that we could mention. When I think of spiritual songs, it's a song literally that was to be accompanied on a musical instrument. And I thought of one particular one. Jesus, Hold My Hand As I Travel Through This Weary Land. Those are the kind of songs that move a little faster. But then there are psalms. You understand that these psalms that we have, that there's 150 of them, but they were songs. They were songs that were to be sung. And the people of Israel would gather in. There were certain times of the year that they would come from all over the country and gather. We're in one of those times today at homecoming. We've gathered together. And in a psalm, I want you to see one of the things that is most prominent. We sing songs that we like. We sing songs that we enjoy. We sing songs that are based upon memories. But folks, one of the grandest things that we need to find in all of the songs that we sing is a sound theology in the view of the God whom we worship. And the psalms are so founded, and this one today in particular makes a grand statement of truth. This is a song I hope you'll go home singing. The Lord reigneth. Now I want you to notice something. There is no proof. There's no effort to argue a proof of this statement. David doesn't seek a proof, and David doesn't give a proof. This statement is given as the old expression, it's just a natural born fact. And you know, it really doesn't matter whether you agree with it or whether you don't. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or whether you don't. The fact of the matter is, the Lord reigneth. And I can't prove it. I can point you out a lot of evidence. When I was back in the dark ages, when I was in high school, I had to take this subject called geometry. Now, I don't know whether any of y'all ever struggled through what I struggled through with that or not. But in that subject, I was taught that there are certain things that are givens. You don't prove them. You use the given truths to prove everything else. And you take those givens and you argue from point A to point B and you prove a reality or prove an equation or you prove a problem. But you have to use things that are given and established to prove everything else. You can't start off out in the wild blue yonder. You start on solid ground. But folks, I'm here to tell you today, I trust that our service together at the Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church is going to start on this reality. The Lord reigneth. When you think of somebody that's reigning, R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. Got enough of that R-A-I-N stuff Wednesday when we were trying to unload the truck. Or Thursday when we were trying to unload the truck. R-E-I-G-N. What does it mean? We don't think very much about it today because we don't have a monarchy. We don't have a king or a queen. We have elected officials. But the imagery that David would have us to understand in this psalm is that David was a king over Israel. And yet David understood there was a greater king than he. The Lord reigneth. He sits upon the throne. He sits in majesty. He sits in strength. And it's written, and a lot of people don't like to read the King James Bible. King James translation of the Bible. Because it uses what we refer to as old King's English. But the fact of the matter is, when you see those words that have the E-T-H on the end of them, it's more than just being old. Most of the time, it is a tense of the word that says it has started. It's what's called a perfect tense. It has started and it continues on. The Lord doesn't begin to reign. There wasn't a time when he began to reign. We're told in the Bible that David was reigned for 40 years, and he started when he was 30 years old, and he reigned for 7 years in one place, and then he got 33 years in a bigger kingdom. God didn't start in one small place and get bigger. The reality is the Lord reigns over all things in this world. I don't care who's elected to an office. On a local level, a state level, a national level, an international level. It doesn't matter. I don't care who men like. It doesn't matter. The Lord reigneth. Well, I'm not being political here. What I'm telling you, folks, is the grandest hope that we have in tumultuous and troubled times. Why should I feel discouraged? The Lord reigns. I sing because I'm happy. The Lord reigns. Sister Elizabeth didn't know that I was going to preach from this passage of Scripture today, but God did. And He put that song and this passage of Scripture together. You see, folks, David looks at his own self and he sees a king. And he talks about the Lord being clothed in majesty. What's he talking about? The strength, the garments that the king would wear, the robes, the crown. You remember how Isaiah would later say that he saw the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train, not a locomotive, but His robe that flowed out behind Him, His train filled the temple. And it was a picture of His glory that filled the temple. Well, you see, God clothed Himself. God clothed Himself with majesty. Going on this week, up the road a little piece in Augusta, there's this little event called the Masters Golf Tournament. At the end of that golf tournament every year, the winner, who's going to rule or reign for the next year, gets a green jacket. And he gets that green jacket by means of last year's winner putting it on him. What I want you to understand is nobody put God's majesty on him. Nobody passed it off to him. Nobody wrapped him in a jacket and say, okay, for the next year, now you're the winner. God has been that way from everlasting. He won't start being king. People talk about, oh, Jesus is going to come back and He'll become king. Let me tell you, folks, today He's already king. And He rules over our lives. And He rules over this world. If you'll go with me over into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke over a lot of years. God spoke through a lot of men. But He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His. Now I know y'all can talk louder than that. I've heard you. Go ahead. Answer me. He spoke by His Son. The last one to speak. There will be no other spokesperson for God. There would be no one else to come along later and add to what Jesus said or did. He hath in these last days spoken. God spoke through His Son, the Word. And the Son is the one who hath been appointed heir of all things, and by whom He also made the worlds. God created heaven, the heavens and the earth. And John reminds us in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without Him there was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Creator as much as God the Father is. Okay? God has spoken by Him, and He's created all things, and He is the brightness of His Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. How many of you opened the blinds or the curtains or the door this morning and looked out to see the sunshine in its brilliance as it began to arrive? Well, folks, that don't even begin to match the brightness of the glory of God that is shown in Jesus Christ. He's the express image of God's person. He's upholding all things by the word of His own power. The world stands in place today. People think the world's coming apart. Well, some things are changing. Some things are a little different. But let me tell you something, folks. The world ain't coming apart until God gets ready for it to end. It's not going to blow up because man messes it up. Man messed it up a long time ago. Adam messed it up when he ate what he wasn't supposed to eat. And it's been messed up ever since. But God has maintained it by the word of His own power. Why? Because He reigneth. Nobody made Him king. Nobody made Him God. He's been God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He's going to be God. Right until He comes back and says, it's over. And He takes us home to be with Him. You see, that's our hope. The Lord reigneth. Go back with me into this passage. 93. Psalm 93, the floods have lifted up, oh Lord, the floods have lifted up their voices, the floods lift up their mighty waves. How many of you watched the television this last week when pictures of the hurricane and the tropical storm were shown, of the water raging about, flooding the streets? That's the idea of the mighty waves. I spent the last 7 years living in Jacksonville, which is, they say it's on the coast, but where we were a long way from the coast, thank goodness. But we would hear about it often. People would try to fill sandbags and prop it up, and the water would still get by. The waves would rise up. The waves were pretty strong. They would eat away at the sand. They'd eat away at the beach. They even ate away out from under the roadbeds on occasions and caused the highways to collapse. The waters had a power about them. And they're used in this passage to remind us that there are adversaries that rise up against God. God is God, and God reigns, but there are adversaries in the world who want to break His control over them. Our adversary, I've heard people say, oh, this party is the adversary, that party is the adversary, this group, that group. Let me tell you something, folks. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is the undercurrent, the same one that deceived and brought Eve and then Adam into a transgression, the same one that has been said by Jesus to be a liar and the father of lies. He's still our adversary, and he's rising up against God. But God reigns. He is mightier than the voice of many waters. You see, we live in a world all... I don't ever remember there being a time when people were so opposed to the church, when people were so opposed to God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's been that way since Adam fell. Genesis chapter 5 tells us that every device and imagination of man was only evil continually. It was tainted with sin. We hear about it more often. It can happen 3 seconds ago, and we're told about it on somebody's news channel. And once they start talking, they don't know when to quit. So we hear about it, and we hear about it, and we hear about it, and we live under the presumption now that it's just worse than it's ever been. But it's not. It's as bad as it's ever been. Granted. But it's always been bad. God's had a people, but the devil's had a people. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You're of your father the devil." The waters rise up against God. But guess what? He is mightier than the voice of many waters. There are those who are threatening today about the worship of Christianity. There are those who are calling it this and calling it that and calling for it to be stopped. And God reigneth. I'm going to tell you today, folks, if I can give you but one message and my ministry be over with, and the Lord take me out from right now on, I want you to remember one thing. God sits upon the throne. And in Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was the boss, there's a passage in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth where he warns, he said, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Nebuchadnezzar just knew he built the biggest kingdom and he was the one in charge of it all. And he wound up for a period of time, there's a lot of question about how long it was, it really doesn't matter, but for a period of time, he ate grass like an animal, he lost his mind, it was long enough for his fingernails to grow out like a bird's talons and for the hair on his body to grow out uncontrolled like feathers. So it wasn't overnight. He lost his ability to rule. And when God let his understanding come back, if you go over into Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Same one. Guy that lost his mind got his mind back. All right? And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He, that is God, doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto Him, what doest thou? Why are you doing that, God? People ask the question, what do you mean none say unto none? Nobody's going to change you. You can ask questions all day long. Job did. Job asked a lot of questions. Job didn't get the answer until God got ready to give him the answer. You see, folks, there's none that can stop God in God's plan. Well, that's kind of arrogant. No, it's not. God's perfect. God's plan's right. Start with it. You don't need to be stopped. His plan is the one that's going to work. He rules among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto Him, what doest thou? And none can stay His hand. And that was written by a man who thought he was the boss and found out he wasn't. But when Nebuchadnezzar wasn't ruling, the world didn't come apart. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, that doesn't mean much to us until you realize the fact that Uzziah reigned in Israel for 52 years. Well, when he died, the whole thing must have come apart. No, God's still on the throne. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter who winds up winning the election. God's still going to be on the throne. It doesn't make any difference who is the man standing here. God's still going to be on the throne. Okay, God reigns. Now I'm going to close by asking you to note the last verse of the psalm. What effect does it have on you when you realize that God reigns? Well, that's just a theological statement, isn't it? No, it's one of the governing realities in your life. It's one of those statements that's a given, and you can go from there to prove everything else. Let me show you two things. Verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure. You see, the things that God testifies to, the statements that He makes, are very sure. God reigns. He reigns in majesty. He reigns in strength. What He says stands. Folks, this book stands. 1914, founders of this congregation, the charter members of this congregation, affixed their name to a covenant that said that they would be governed by the Word of God. Why? Why could they say it 100 years ago, and with all the differences in the world today, why can we stand on the one thing? Because His testimonies are very sure. Folks, don't be tossed about with every slight and cunning of man. Don't be tossed about with all the things that culture says, oh, we need to change this, we need to change that, we need to stand where this book says we ought to stand. What He says is right is sure. It's not shaky. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. His testimonies are sure. What does that mean for you? Second part of that verse. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord. You realize you are the house of God. You are the temple of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You can look in the book of Ephesians. I want you to notice something. very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now notice this next phrase. That we should be what? God made choice of His people. But He didn't just choose the people and let them go. He chose them that they should be holy. Holiness becometh thy house, Lord. God chose us to be holy and to be without blame before Him in love. You see, brothers and sisters, our behavior, our choice of acting, you know what it means to be holy? Well, I can't be holy. I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean to be perfect. It means to be separated. It means to be consecrated. It means to be set apart. God set you apart in Jesus Christ. God washed you in the blood of Jesus. God called you apart from the world. He called you to be holy. You see, folks, the fact that God reigns and God sits upon the throne and the certainty of His Word directs our behavior. Oh, it's a grand thing to say, the Lord reigns. My God reigns. But what effect does it have in what you do today? Does He reign in your mind to the point? Now, I'm not talking about does He reign in heaven. He reigns in heaven. You're not even one who will change that. But does He reign in your mind to the point that you obey the King, that you follow the King, that you walk as the King has given you direction? God's holiness is to become, it's to mark, it's to adorn His house. Not just the church building, but your body. You are the temple. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. The holiness of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, who reigns upon the throne, is to adorn your life moment by moment, day by day, step by step. Folks, do some thinking. It's not my place to stand up here today and say, you need to change this and you need to change that and this one needs to do. I don't know you that well, but the Lord does. If He's convicting your heart that there ought to be a change in your life, then follow His conviction. He reigns upon the throne. If He's convicting your heart that you ought to take a different path, take the path that He's leading you to take. It will be the right path. It will prepare you for whatever is to come. But go home today after dinner with this assurance. Not only will you have strength from the meal, but you'll have strength because God reigns. Lord, thank You that You sit upon the throne. Thank You today that You are King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus was born King of the Jews. Jesus reigns King of kings and Lord of lords over a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. Oh, Father, may we rest in the surety of Your testimonies, and may those testimonies shape our life in the holiness of our behavior. Fashion us like Your Son Jesus, we pray. And amen.